All right, well, let's have a word of prayer. We'll begin tonight's class. Lord, we're thankful for Jesus Christ once again. And Father, we ask you to help us to learn some things tonight, Lord, some new information that we may not have known already. I just pray that you'd help us to process it and not to be too confused, Lord. I thank you for this opportunity that we have. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, the rapture tonight, this is lecture or class number 10. Tonight, and what we'll do is review a little bit. When we talked about last week, we talked about 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, to be not ignorant of this one thing, that a day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day with the Lord. Putting that together, we see that we had 4,000 years approximately in the Old Testament, 2,000 years approximately in the New Testament. We have to allow for a 1,000-year millennial reign, which is the Sabbath. The Sabbath day. If God created in 6 days, he did his work in six, he rested the seventh, correct? So this is why I believe we're near something, all right? As Peter would say in 2 Peter 3:8, be not ignorant of this one thing. And he's talking about knowing in the last days there'll be scoffers saying, where is the promise of his coming and all that. So he says, a day is 1,000 years, 1,000 years a day with the Lord. So I think that when God's plan is all done, he'll have 7,000 years of history approximately. And you might say, well, we're past 2000, you know, 2004. You know, I need to just remind you, I don't know. I don't know the chronology. I don't know God's calendar. I don't know when he calculates time. I don't know when he takes a break, if you will, from time and doesn't calculate time and all that, depending on where his people are with him. The other thing to keep in mind is Jesus Christ came, and then we calculate our calendar A.D. in the year of our Lord from his birth, right? And this is just something to throw out there. The church didn't start until after his death, resurrection, and ascension. So we're not even 2,000 years after his death yet. You follow what I'm saying? All right? Because we calculate it, you have to subtract the 33 years or whatever, so maybe it's 1971 in the church age, okay? And again, all speculation. My point is, we do not know on God's calendar exactly what year we're in. However, if we're in the ballpark of 6,000 years of history, allowing for that 1,000-year millennial reign, maybe we're close. Maybe we're close. And I've always said, we have two things going for us in this generation that no other generation has had. We are in the year approximately 2000, and Israel's in the land for our generation, which is huge when it comes to prophecy, okay? So those two things, I think, we can boast a little bit more about the coming of Christ, I think. All right, we looked at two main verses of Scripture on the rapture, 1 Corinthians 15, 51 to 57. We looked at those last week. And we looked at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 to 18. We talked about the rapture, meaning to transport. All right, and remember, we're to comfort one another with these words, right? Right there at the last verse there, 1 Thessalonians 4:18. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. When it comes to the death of a loved one who's been born again, and when it comes to the looking for Jesus to rapture us, it should be a time of comfort, not of fear. All right, we talked about the rapture for all believers in Christ, dead or alive. We talked about the partial rapture theory and how we don't believe that to be true because it's all or none with the body of Christ. We're talking about the purpose of the rapture is to mark the end of the church age, sparing God's people from his wrath, which is to come, the great tribulation. And the Bible says there, 1 Thessalonians 1, he delivered us from wrath to come. And 5:9, for God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. All right, no one knows when the rapture will occur. It is what we call imminent, but all things are in place for it to happen at any time. Okay? People say, well, the rapture can't happen because the gospel hasn't been preached in all the world. You know those verses like that? The rapture can't happen because more has to happen. The temple has to be built, or other objections. I submit to you tonight, everything is in place for the rapture to happen. Nothing more has to happen other than that horn just needs to blow. All right, so on the prophetic timeline, we have what we referred to last week as a post-tribulation rapture theory, where we have the church age that runs right into the seven-year tribulation, and then we go up in the rapture. That is not for the church, however. Okay, we looked at different reasons for that last week, but that's the theory. There is a mid-tribulation rapture theory that says we will go through the first 3.5 years of the tribulation, and then the middle of the tribulation, we would be raptured at that point, and then the last 3.5 years would be without the church on earth. Then there's a pre-wrath rapture, which doesn't necessarily have to be at the midway point. The pre-wrath rapture is just God will take out his church at any time during the tribulation before he pours out his wrath, depending on where when you believe that wrath will take place. All right, so those are all different theories that we looked at a little bit last week. All right, tonight we're going to look at the pre-tribulation rapture. We'll spend a bit of time on this because this is the position of this teacher, of this school, of this church, and many, many fundamental Bible-believing Christians. It is that the church will be raptured prior to the seven-year tribulation. Okay? That's what we call the pre-tribulation rapture. Let me stop right there. Everybody understand so far where we are? You understand all the theories? You don't have to agree with them, but just so you know what we're trying to submit tonight, all right? This is where we are and what we're going to spend our time on. Now, as far as the church, I want to address the church, you and I, the church age. I want to address why I believe that we must go through any of this or tribulation. We looked at some of that last week, but I want to look at some types in the Bible. I told you that the two main passages for the rapture are 1 Thessalonians 4, 1 Corinthians 15, and we looked at several others as well on the rapture, but there are some types. The Bible can teach us a lot about types. We learned that earlier in the semester, remember? All right, we looked at a lot of different typologies. First one we want to look at is Enoch. The Bible says that Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Okay, so what happened to Enoch? All right, he did not die. God took him. Now, Hebrews chapter 11 will tell us, comparing those two verses, Enoch was what? Translated, that he should not see death. So Enoch did not die. He was translated, or we would call it what? He raptured. All right, Enoch was taken out because God had translated him, for before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. Enoch is a great picture of the church. Okay? The church is taken up. People would argue and say, well, it's appointed unto men once to die, and so everybody has to die, and so they would look at somebody like Enoch is maybe coming back as one of the witnesses in Revelation, but Enoch's a picture of the church, and I want to tell you this, not everyone will die. What happens at the rapture? Does the church die? No. They'll not. So much for that. Enoch is a picture of the church. He will not die. Joe?
He's a very good picture of our first rapture before Noah's flood.
All right, great point. So he's taken out, and then shortly thereafter, we have the flood, which Noah's flood is a picture of the Great Tribulation, okay? Because out of that tribulation, Noah spared just a remnant, right? Just 8 people, just a remnant is spared out of that tribulation, that flood. He's a picture of the remnant of Israel that will be spared. But before that, Enoch goes up. So Enoch's a type of you and I that will escape our tribulation, our flood, if you will, the tribulation here that will be left on earth. Does everybody follow that typology? He's taken up. Noah's flood comes onto the scene, okay, after his generation. All right. That's one type. You remember Sodom and Gomorrah and Lot, right? All right, here's another type that will escape tribulation. Tells us here, Genesis chapter 19. These are the angels that came to Lot. The men said unto Lot, hast thou here any besides, son-in-law, thy sons, thy daughters, and whatsoever thou hast in the city? Bring them out of this place. For we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Lord. The Lord has sent us to destroy it. So he's talking about the destruction of Sodom. Okay? The wrath of God being poured out, fire from heaven being poured down on Sodom. Verse 16, it tells us that Lot lingered, that the men laid hold upon his hand, and his wife, his daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him, they brought him forth and set him without the city. And then watch this statement. He tells that the angels tell Lot, haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou become thither. Therefore the name of the city was called Zoar. The angel says to Lot, I can't touch this city that's about to be destroyed, right? I can't touch it until you are what? You're gone. That's a type of the church in the tribulation. God says, there will be no wrath from heaven. Seals, trumpets, vials. All right, I'm not saying there's not floods and there's not diseases and famines and wars. I'm not saying that. But he's not going to pour out those wrath from heaven until he says, I cannot touch it, Lot, until you're out. And I don't think he's going to touch the earth with tribulation until the church is gone. Okay? That's another type. All right, let's look at another one. Rahab the harlot. Joshua chapter 6. We're talking about the city of Jericho. It says, the young men that were spies went in and brought out Rahab, the father and her mother and her brethren and all that she had, and they brought out all her kindred and left them without the camp of Israel. And verse 24, and they burnt the city with fire and all that was therein, etc., etc. Okay, so the destruction of the city happened after Rahab was what? Gone or removed. Okay? All right. Enoch is a big type. Lot is a type. Rahab is a type of those that escape wrath. John is a big type of the church. John, the Apostle John in the book of Revelation. He's writing the book of Revelation. He has a vision on that island called Patmos. And it says, after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee the things which must be hereafter. So John gets called up by a trumpet. You recognize that anywhere? Okay, being called up by a trumpet. And then, look how fast it took. How long did it take?
Immediately.
I was in the Spirit, behold, the throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. Now, if you follow the book of Revelation, chapters 1, 2, and 3 deal with what we call the seven churches, church ages. All right? Chapter 4, John disappears, and then you don't see those churches again. The book of Revelation is now the tribulation period. No church mentioned. Okay? No John mentioned. All right, so now what we need to do is I'd like you to go to, let me continue this reasoning with John. Go to Ephesians 5. No, go to John 21. Go to John chapter 21. John chapter 21. Now read Ephesians chapter 5. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 5:25 that Christ also loved the church. He loved the church. Gave himself for it. John had a special relationship with Jesus Christ. John 21, verse 20. Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom what?
Jesus
loved. All right. What? You say, why do they always say, why did John always say that about himself? The disciple whom Jesus loved, like he had this special place. You know what? It was the type. John's a type of the church. Jesus loved the church. It's not that he didn't love his all the apostles, right? Sure he did. He loved the world. But John has a special place. And that is that he was a disciple whom Jesus loved. All right, in verse 21, Peter seeth him saith to Jesus, Lord, what shall this man do? And Peter's looking at John, and they're following Jesus, and saying, what about him, Lord? Because the Lord told Peter he was going to die older. He would die a death. In 22, Jesus saith unto him, watch what he says about John. If I will that he what?
Tarry.
Till I what? Come. What is that to thee? Follow thou me. This is the picture of the church. Church that tarries till Jesus comes for it. Right? In verse 23, then went this saying abroad among the brethren that that disciple should not die. Yet Jesus said unto him, not unto him, he shall not die, but if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? In 24, John identifies himself. This is the disciple. That's how we know it's the disciple whom Jesus loved. John says, this is that disciple. Okay, so John, like the church, is loved by Christ and will tarry until he receives the return of Christ. And that's exactly what happened in Revelation 4, right? He saw the door open in heaven, the trumpet. John's caught up, and guess who he sees? Jesus. Okay? John is a great picture of the type, a type of the church. Yes, go ahead, Jerry.
You know, there was controversy around that.
Yeah, the Bible's very clear. Yes, sure. Yep, the Bible's very clear that that was John. That's correct. All right, so John is a picture of the church. The church in the book of Revelation, as I said before, is not mentioned again until the tribulation is over. All right, and that's worth mentioning. Revelation 19, verse 7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife, that's the church, that's you and I, his wife has made herself ready. She's arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, righteousness of the saints, okay? That's you and I again. And then he says, blessed are they which are called the marriage supper of the Lamb. So, again, in the book of Revelation, we have, I think, a blueprint of the rapture. 1, 2, and 3, you've got churches, the church ages. 4, out. John, church is out. Tribulation, 6 through 18. 19, church reappears. That tells me the church has no part in the tribulation. You follow that? Okay? No part in it. All right, let me see some other things that we see in Revelation 4 with John in verses 1 and 2. There were some things there, and you want to refer to that in your Bibles. We saw in Revelation chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, with John's translation, that it was immediately. And we know from the verse in 1 Corinthians 15, it tells us, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Okay? So that was the immediate part of John's translation. Then we have the trumpet that sounded in Revelation chapter 4. That matches the trump of God, 1 Thessalonians 4:16. The trump of God would sound, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then 1 Corinthians 15, again, the trumpet shall sound, that shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. All right, somebody grab John chapter 10 for me. John 10, verse number 3. John 10, verse 3. Sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. Okay? John was taken up in Revelation chapter 4, if you still have it there, verses 1 and 2. It says, does it refer to the first voice? Does it say that? What does it say about Revelation 4, 1 and 2? Okay, thank you. The first voice. That's what I want to focus in on. Revelation chapter 4. The first voice. John chapter 10, it says that they hear his voice. In John chapter 11, it is the loud voice of God that will call his own. Okay? Lazarus. How about when he resurrected Lazarus? He cried with a loud voice, didn't he? Lazarus, come forth. Okay? You wonder if he's not going to do that with you and I. You just, we'll hear the trumpet will blow. I wonder if he'll just say, Joe, come forth. Joe, come up hither. You know? John, come on up. You know, they think the Price is Right is good. Hey, come on down, you know. Run to you now. Come on up. You know? Bob Barker and them, they'll stay down, you know. In 11:44, tells us that he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto him, loose him and let him go. But it was a loud voice that calls his own. That's the thing that I really want to bring to your attention. Voice of the archangel, the trump of God, the first voice, John says in Revelation chapter 4, the voice in John chapter 10, the voice here that calls Lazarus. All right, you get the picture here. All right, the other thing to take note of, and this will get us on quite an extensive study here, and that's the term in Revelation chapter 4 that is, no, he says, come up hither. Come up hither. John, come up hither. Come here. Come up. And that phrase in the Bible is used 3 times in Scripture. I believe that those 3 times match the 3 parts of what's called the first resurrection, which we'll get into here. And this is where I may start to lose you, so you go ahead and stop me. This is where I lose myself many of the times, all right? But it happens. There's 3 times that the term come up hither is mentioned. The first one there is in Proverbs, chapter 25. And it says, put not forth thyself in the presence of the king, and stand not in the place of great men. For better is it that it be said unto thee, come up hither, than that thou shouldest be put lower in the presence of the prince whom thine eyes have seen. As opposed to whom thine eyes have not seen. You know, for the come up hither. Basically, I mean, practically speaking, I'm sure you can talk about being on earth here, but doctrinally speaking, I think you could talk about come up hither as opposed to staying here. Okay? So that's the first time that that's mentioned. I believe that would be a reference or match the first of 3, and I think it's Old Testament saints, because Old Testament saints we're going to look at went up. We'll look at this further in a moment, but Old Testament saints went up with Jesus. All right? He emptied out the graves. All right? Come up hither. I'm sure they heard that. The church, New Testament saints. That's John. We looked at that already, but John was told, come up hither. I believe that the church will be told, come up hither. Okay? That's the second time in Scripture it's used. The third time is during the tribulation, and it's talked or directed at the 2 witnesses of Revelation chapter 11. Okay? And it tells us that they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. All right? I think when that happens in the tribulation, I think that that's not only are they going, but tribulation saints are going. I think that's another rapture. Remember the post-tribulation rapture theory? They're not far off. It's just they got the wrong people going. It's not the church that's going in it. All right? It's for the Jews. All right? Now, when farmers harvest their fields, there are 3 main parts of a harvest. Those being the first fruits, the first time they harvest it. Those being the main harvest, when they go out and get the majority of it. And then what's called the gleanings, or the leftovers. Okay, so that's three parts. In Exodus chapter 23, it tells us the feast of harvest, the first fruits of thy labors, that's one, which thou hast sown in the field. The feast of the ingathering, that's the third part. So that's parts number one and part number three, which is the end of the year. Thou hast gathered in thy labors out of the field. So the first part and the last part, what's missing out of Exodus chapter 23 that the Jews did not celebrate, was the main harvest. Now here's why. The first fruits went up with Christ, Old Testament saints, dealing a lot with the Jews. They celebrated the ingatherings or the gleanings, tribulation saints, okay? Jews mostly. What's missing in Exodus is a celebration of the main harvest. The main harvest for us is when we go up to heaven, the church age is raptured. Now, I'm not saying there aren't Jews that are saved, but can you see it's more Gentile? It doesn't surprise me. One day reading this, I thought, where is that main harvest in there? It's not there. I got chills right now. All right? It's not there. Because it's not the church isn't mentioned in there. Because the church was a mystery, wasn't it? We talked about that before. You see why we laid this crazy foundation for the first 7 weeks or so before we got into this stuff? We showed you the differences between Israel and the church. Okay, that comes into play here. Okay, there, that was written to the Jews. Hey, go celebrate the first fruits. Go celebrate the in gatherings, the first and the last harvest. Don't celebrate the middle harvest, though. At least in this verse. And that, okay, is because you and I will go up in the middle of it. All right, now, so there are three parts of a harvest. We're talking about harvesting a field, okay? Go ahead. Question?
Yeah, the difference between...
First fruits were the first ones, first time they come in ripe. I'm not a farmer, by any means. So if you want to, if anyone can correct me, go ahead. But when it was the first ripe fruits were in, but not all of them were ripe. But they harvested that first time. They saw what? Harvested. Later on is when the majority of it is ready to go. And then after that, there's just the leftovers, whatever they didn't get. Okay? A remnant. Okay? And as we look at the rapture of the church, all right, the resurrections, if you will, the Old Testament people went up with Christ. They're called the first fruits, which we'll look at. The main harvest, I think, is going to be the church age, when we're raptured, the majority. Then there's a remnant that's spared during the tribulation, which would be the ingathering of the leftovers. All right? All right, let's see. Yes, sir.
In support of that, we also talk many times in scriptures.
Yes.
So that would be a percentage.
Yes. Good.
And then also talk about that percentage of the Jews who will go up, not all of them.
Yep. Yep, that's exactly right. First fruits is just what we say as far as when he asks us to give back to him. Yep, that's a good point. So we have three parts of a harvest when a farmer harvests a field. Now, to compare that, stay with me. There are three parts to the first resurrection. All right, we're going to call it the first resurrection, which anyone that goes up, that Christ resurrects, all right? That's the first resurrection. But there are three parts. I'm going to call them part A, part B, and part C. Okay? Part A of the first resurrection has gone up. He's taken A. Old Testament. We're waiting for part B. Lord, come quickly. Get us out of here. I want to go. All right? After us, later on, after the tribulation, comes part C. I believe all of those are called, referred to as the first resurrection. All right? Now let's look at some scriptures here. In John chapter 5, Jesus says, "For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth or makes alive whom he will. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice." Remember the voice? and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Rest assured, he says, every person that's ever died is coming out. They're coming up. They're either going to the resurrection of life or the resurrection of damnation. Okay? That's an interesting term where a Jehovah's Witness says hell is the grave, a resurrection of damnation. I don't see the grave mentioned in that. Revelation chapter 20. Parts to the first resurrection. And by the way, the first resurrection, again, what he just said is the resurrection of life. Right? The people that we're going to talk about, those parts A, B, and C, are the resurrection of life. Okay? Revelation chapter 20. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years, martyrs who made it through the tribulation, just to take a shortcut. The rest of the dead lived not again till the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. What's the first resurrection? They lived and reigned. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. Such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Anyone that is a part in the first resurrection, the second death doesn't have any power. What's the second death? Do you know? Death in hell, cast in a lake of fire. This is the second death, right? We're not talking about a physical death. We're talking about a spiritual death. So anyone that's ever lived in history, from Adam to the end, that doesn't experience a spiritual death, they don't go to hell. Wherever they go, some of them went to Abraham's bosom, right? I must go to heaven. I'm not sure what happens to tribulation saints exactly. If they die in the tribulation, I think they're caught up to heaven. Anyone that has part in this first resurrection, the second death has no power over, they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. That's why people say, why is it so important for us to do good works here once we're saved? What, I thought our sins were already judged. It looks to me like we're going to have to do something here called priests of God. We're a royal priesthood, the Bible says. A peculiar priesthood. I would guess that based on what we do for Christ, is what we're going to do in the millennial reign with him. I think that's probably a pretty fair guess, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you think? Okay? Because it says that they shall reign with him 1,000 years. Okay? But that's anyone that has part in the first resurrection. Who are those people? Here they are. They're the first fruits, the harvest, and the ingatherings, or the gleanings. The first group we'll look at, first fruits, I believe are Old Testament saints. And I use the term Old Testament saved, Old Testament spared, Old Testament didn't get damned, you know, that whole thing. All right? Old Testament saints. Our harvest, we're the main harvest, I believe, following the church age. That's the rapture, main harvest. Then we have a 7-year tribulation. In my opinion, the ingatherings or the gleanings are at the end of that period, leftovers. Remember Jesus said, endure to the end? Endure to the end of the tribulation, right? He that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved, right? And I think before he comes back, and you can put an arrow coming down right after this, I think before he comes back, he takes his remnant out of the way, because he's about to come back and wreak some havoc when he returns. Okay, so I would guess that he's removing his saints, if you will. Okay, if you want to use that term. I know it gets sticky in the different dispensation, but... All right, so those, I believe those to be the three parts of the first resurrection. The first fruits, the harvest, and the gleanings. And again, part A, do it this way. Part A, B, and C of the first resurrection. Are you with me? Okay? Resurrection. A, B, and all the first resurrections.
So you believe that the tribulation saints will be...
Yes, that's my belief. That's my belief, yes.
I'm looking at that.
Yep. That's my opinion.
In verse 5, yep.
Spiritual death. Because what happens is, at the end of the 1,000 years, we have the great white throne.
Mm-hmm.
They come up now. Okay? So second death did have power on those people, as opposed to these people the second death hath no power over. So for 1,000 years, it looks like this group is reigning with Christ. The rest of the group that died, they're in hell. Damnation. But they'll be resurrected again. Jesus said everybody's going to be. The resurrection and damnation. They're going to come off out of hell.
That's
at the great white throne. Yep, 20 verse 6. That's the resurrection and damnation, correct. Yep, you got it. Okay? Anyone else? Joe?
Talking about the Old Testament.
Yes.
That occurred when our Lord was crucified
and
went into the city.
Yep, let's look at that right now.
Do those folks...
Or are they waiting?
Go back... What is our... What is our opinion on... They go back into the ground...
A good question. I don't know the answer to that. That's one of those things that remains to be seen.
Yeah.
You know? I'm not sure what... I know this. Their souls went up.
Yeah.
And I have to believe that they probably, when the horn blows, I imagine they'll probably get theirs. They could have them now. That's a possibility.
I think they might, because it says
it's a good possibility.
The saints which left
arose, yeah. And I wouldn't have a problem if they did. It separates them from the church age people, you know. And so I don't have a problem with that. They may have.
We're confident that this.
I'm very confident that that's the case, yes. Very confident that that's the case. Yep. All right, now, in 1 Corinthians 15, it tells us this. Now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits, the term first fruits of them that slept. And then speaking of resurrection, all right, it says, every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming, then come at the end is what it says. But I'm going to concentrate first on the first fruits. It says, in an order of a resurrection, every man in his own order, number one, or part A, Christ the first fruits. Okay? When did they happen? As Joe alluded to, this is my guess. The resurrection of Christ. When he died, behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top of the bottom, the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened, and many of the bodies, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose, and came out of the graves when? After his resurrection, and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. This is one of those passages there's not a lot of cross-references for. It's a crazy thing stuck in there, isn't it? It's just one of those things that says... That would have been something to see.
Have they ever found any bones?
I don't know anything about that at all.
Because if they
I don't know.
But if this happened,
your guess is as good as mine.
Found,
you know, and maybe, and I'm sure that they said we have found this tomb and we've had that. I don't know. Even if they said we did, how do I know that they did? You know, so. I know one grave they didn't find anything. That I know for sure. So I think this is the first fruits. Okay? Go ahead. That's what Joe was asking, and I don't know. That's a good question. Peg, what'd you say?
Because Corinthians says...
put on immortality.
Corruption must...
put on incorruption. Is that referring to the church age saint stuff?
That's, yeah, I don't know.
Or is that referring to everybody? So...
you're right.
Well, I mean, we know that, but we know they're at least, they at least went in their soulish, because he emptied out Abraham's bosom. He did do that. All right, Bible tells us he led captivity captive. He preached his spirits in prison. All right, the Lord took him up. That we can say, we know that he emptied out Abraham's bosom. All right, as far as whether or not their bones and their bodies and their graves, I don't know. This is just, I bring this to you, this is a peculiar passage of Scripture. And there's nothing in the other Gospels to compare this to. Okay? So, I just know the graves were open. What does that mean? Did the earthquake open them and just leave it for 3 days? Many of the bodies, the saints were slept, arose. When? But they didn't come out of the grave until after his resurrection. And then, and the other thing, there's peculiar, many bodies. Does that mean all of them or some of them? And then, what city did they go to and who'd they talk to? That's crazy stuff, isn't it? You know? Yeah, theirs could have been. You know, and I wonder...
that's where you get the zombie movies from.
Yeah, the Night of the Living Dead or whatever, yeah. That's a good point. So... yes, go ahead.
Jesus rose and Mary Magdalene saw him.
Yes.
But have not ascended.
Yes.
Glorified.
Yes.
Glorified.
Mm-hmm.
So he had two.
Yeah, came out of the grave.
One kind of body, but he couldn't be touched because.
Yeah, I think he couldn't be touched personally. And I don't know, it's another peculiar passage. Touch me not, for I have not yet ascended to the mm-hmm. Father. I don't think he could be defiled at this point. Mm-hmm. Perhaps he was going up to make the atonement at the mercy seat after the fact.
Mm-hmm.
So he went up. He comes down, and then they're hugging him and touching him. So I don't know if it was two kinds of bodies, or I don't know if it was just he had to go do something, business to take care of, that he couldn't be touched. So, but peculiar stuff when it comes to the resurrection, isn't it? All right? I teach this, again, you don't have to agree, that's fine. First fruits, three parts of the first resurrection, A, B, and C, I believe first fruits to be the first part, or... A. All right? Main harvest, we don't need to spend a lot of time here. But this is the church age saints, you and I. 1 Corinthians 15:23, after the first fruits, it says, then they that are Christ at his coming, he comes in the clouds, and I believe that to be the church, part B. Of the first resurrection. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. We shall all be changed. Okay? That's you and I. That's what we put in to that one. And again, this was not part of the Jewish celebration. There was no feast for this part of the harvest in Exodus chapter 23. And not mentioned because it is a mystery. It is a mystery. The body of Christ. Remember, we looked at those mysteries? The church is a mystery. And so the rapture of the church is also a mystery. All right, part C. In gathering or gleanings, tribulation saints. Following every man in his own order in 1 Corinthians 15, then cometh the end. When he shall have delivered up the kingdom of God to even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. The end. This is it. Matthew 24. This is where I believe these verses to take place. You know how he says, two in the field, one taken, the other left? This is where I see this. Right, after the tribulation. Two women at the mill, one taken, the other left. I think it's interesting, and I have no idea if this means anything, but one out of two are taken. You think, well, he might just be saying it, and that's fine. Remember the parable in Matthew 25 of the 10 virgins?
Yeah.
Five were ready and five weren't.
Yeah.
Half. I don't know. I don't know why that is. I don't know if it has any correlation or not. All right, but Matthew 24, the coming, this is the coming of the Son of Man, when he touches down. Okay, the arrow's coming down now. Two in the field, one taking the other left. Two women at the mill, one taking the other left. Watch, therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. All right, that's referring to, I believe, the ingatherings, the gleanings, mostly the Jewish people at the end of the tribulation. And also in Revelation chapter 14, before the return of Christ, it tells us, I looked and behold a white cloud, and upon the cloud one sat like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown and a hand, and his hand a sharp sickle. What's he going to do with a sickle? What do they do with a sickle, you know? They're reaping the what? The harvest, right? Okay, this is the third part of the harvest. Another angel came out of the temple crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time has come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. And he that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. And then it tells us, if you keep reading, it was reaped again, as in, and that was, and they were gathered and thrown into the winepress. So I believe this to be where he's taking the ingathering or the gleanings. I think he's taking the tribulation. Revelation 11, we looked, those two witnesses went up. This is where I think that is. I may be wrong, but that's what I think.
But reaping, isn't
it? You reap three parts of the harvest. You reap. Yeah, you're just reaping what was sown. Correct.
That's like cutting everything down.
Yep, correct. You got it. Yes. Go ahead, Tony.
How did Exodus chapter fit into it?
Got me, man. Good question. It's a good question on it. Again, it would go back, Tony, to the church age, the age that did, quote, not have to be. Right? You had your you had two harvests. So, go ahead. Yep. You might know that. I mean, if I were to guess, if I were left behind for the tribulation, I would probably be thinking in 7 years, I might be able to get out of here, you know. So I might have an idea. I might not know that exact timing of it, though. So it's a possibility.
Hmm?
Yeah. Daniel 9 and Matthew 24, abomination of desolation. Yeah. Because then he says, head for the hills, basically. Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. So you might be able to even calculate maybe 42 months from there or something like that. So, yep, that's a good point. Good question. And a lot of that remains to be seen. Okay, this is a good place to take a break. Go ahead, Jeff.
Do we know how?
No. I don't think it'll be long, though, if I'm reading this right. If I'm reading this right, I don't think so.
The rapture and the tribulation is not actually right. After
that. Right. Yeah, they would be, some people would disagree and say, they read this as, well, I have to go back to the other scripture. Some people read it like this, Chuck. The one taken are the bad. The one left are the good. Okay? I don't believe that because it doesn't follow suit. Every time he takes his, he takes them out. That's how I feel about it. I think the one taken is the ones he's getting out of the way. The one left are in big trouble. That's how I see that thing. Okay? All right? All right, let's take a break here. All right, as we continue... After the rapture of the church, before the tribulation, if we follow John in Revelation chapter 4 as a type of the church, he is told, I will show thee things which must be hereafter. In other words, after he's raptured, the tribulation is unfolding. Okay? So the church disappears, just what we have said before, and Israel reappears as the emphasis on God's plan. Okay? Church disappears, Israel reappears. Remember what the tribulation is. Jeremiah 30. That day is great, for that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. It's the time of Israel's trouble. Jacob's name was changed to Israel, but he shall be saved out of it. The remnant will be spared. That's Jesus saying, endure to the end. The same shall be saved. All right? Now, the tribulation, which we will study in detail next time we get together. We'll study the tribulation. We'll study Daniel chapter 9 and the 70 week years. In Daniel 9, it tells us 70 weeks are determined upon who? Daniel, upon who? Thy people. Daniel's people, right? And upon thy holy city, Jerusalem, right? Okay?
To finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness following the tribulation, seal up the vision and prophecy, and anoint the most holy, Christ reigns. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. This is the Antichrist. He shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week or 7 years. And in the midst of the week, 3.5 years in, he shall cause the sacrifice, the oblation to cease, the overspreading of abominations. He shall make it desolate. Jesus called this the abomination of desolation, written by Daniel the prophet. Okay, this is the time we're talking about. The Great Tribulation. All right, the tribulation then is 7 years. 1 week in those weak years. And again, we'll look into that in a couple weeks. 1 week is equal to 7 years. That means the tribulation is 7 years, not 3.5 years. It is divided into 2 3.5 year segments. All right? But it is not, and I know a lot of people teach that only the second half is when the wrath of God pours out. The first 3.5, you don't see that. That's what they tell you. Therefore, they put the church in the first 3.5 by saying, hey, there's no wrath. There's nothing coming down. There's no seals, trumpets, or vials. I don't believe that to be the case based on the chronology of the book of Revelation. Now, Jesus says this in Matthew 24, when departed from the temple, the disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. Jesus said unto them, see not all these things, verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And he sat upon the Mount of Olives. The disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming? And of the end of the world. Alright, they ask him several questions right there in one. Now, this is your handout. We're going to compare Matthew 24 with Revelation 6. And this is fascinating to me because Jesus uses Matthew 24 to teach on the Great Tribulation. And in Revelation 6, I believe it takes us through the Great Tribulation. Those are the seven seals. All right? If you took Revelation, you know what I'm talking about. I believe Revelation 6 takes us through. And comparing these two chapters is pretty fascinating. And I've tried to outline those things in this handout. The first question is, when shall these things be, they asked Jesus. Now his answer is, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying I am Christ. So you have some false Christs, right? He says, or Antichrist. And in Revelation chapter 6, which again, this Revelation 6 unfolds after John in Revelation 4, he's taken up or raptured like we will be. He sees things around the throne of God, chapter 5. Then all of a sudden, chapter 6, they're breaking open the seals, or the tribulation happens. People say this, will there be, the question comes up, will there be a gap between the rapture and the beginning of the tribulation?
If there is, I do not believe it to be a long one. If the chronology of Revelation 4 is correct, he gets up, he goes up, he sees the things around the throne, and in chapter 6, it's unfolding. I don't personally necessarily see a gap there. I think once the church is raptured, there needs to be a covenant confirmed by the Antichrist. That's already made, by the way. How long do you think it will take, with all the chaos on this earth, somebody to step up and say, hey, folks, don't, it's all right, it's under control, just listen to what I have to say. I don't think it'll take long. I don't think it'll take long at all.
Did you, in 1997, they were talking, and they were, one of the pastors was talking to every year, and he was talking to one of the talk show hosts from over there, and he said that the fear and the tension, he said, the devil himself, if he would promise to take the hurt and the pain and the fear away, we would worship.
Okay, that's a great point.
That was last week.
They're already set. Don't you, I mean, how many people, other than the crazy Muslims, how many of them like to live in that terror? Wouldn't you think they would want peace? And that's what they'll be looking for, somebody that can bring that peace. Okay, so what we have here then, and it's not going to be perfect peace, but he says, many will come in my name. In Revelation 6, verse 1, it says, and I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, I heard where the noise of thunder, and one of the four beasts saying, come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, when he went forth conquering and to conquer. This is the white horse rider is the Antichrist, okay, without time to get into all that. He has a bow, he has a crown, but he shows up. And remember what he said in Matthew 24, many will come in my name. Well, somebody's going to come in his name, all right? They're going to think that he's of God, okay? They're going to think he's a Messiah, they're going to think he's a Christ, okay, in a positive way. Now, halfway through, he declares himself to be God, but it's in a negative way. Okay? All right, and then in Matthew 24, following this, he says, you shall hear wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. The end is not yet. Revelation chapter 6, it's the second seal. Another horse was red. Power was given him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth and that they should kill one another. That would match wars and rumors of wars, wouldn't it? Okay. We're into the tribulation here, the second seal. Okay. Back to Matthew 24. Nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom, famines, pestilence, earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the what? Beginning of sorrows. Now, in my opinion, that's the first 3.5 years of the tribulation. They're the beginning of sorrows. Okay? In Revelation 6, we would continue there. There's the third seal. He's got a pair of balances, that horse rider, in his hands. That would indicate the famines. Hurt not the oil and the wine. Okay? Look at verse 8. Power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill. With the sword, with hunger, death. Those are pestilences. All right, so that matches Matthew 24. Famines, pestilences. They're stated there in Revelation chapter 6, correct? And again, I believe all these to be the beginning of sorrows. The first 3.5 years of the tribulation. I think that marks the halfway point. Now, after the halfway point, if this is correct, verse 9 of Matthew 24... Then, he says, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and kill you. The heat gets turned up. You should be hated of nations for my namesakes. Many will be offended. False prophets. Iniquity shall abound. Love of many wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved, right? Saved at last half. Now, that matches Revelation 6, the fifth seal. He sees under the altar souls of them that were what? Slain for the word of God, for the testimony which they held. Verse 10, they say, avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth. Are you going to avenge our blood? And then in verse 11 it says, white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. So, Matthew 24, Jesus talking about, then they'll deliver you up to be afflicted and kill you, matches the fifth seal where they're martyred. Okay? So, the question is, when shall these things be? Now, what should be the sign of thy coming? Here's the sign of the coming. Part of the sign, he says, when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Daniel 9:27, we read already, the covenant is confirmed for a week. In the middle of the week, it's the abomination that'll make desolate. So Jesus in Matthew is referring to Daniel's prophecy of the abomination of desolation. What is that? Well, 2 Thessalonians 2 tells us, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. This is the Antichrist. Okay? The man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. So it has to do with the temple, or, as you can see, in Daniel chapter, or Matthew chapter 24, verse 15, Jesus says, stand in the holy place, right? That's the temple, the holy place, okay? So, he sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. So, the Antichrist, it appears, for the first 3.5 years, is there, trying to get along, whatever, in the midst of all the chaos. Halfway through, he says, I am God. And he starts killing the Jews. He starts martyring them, beheading them. And he defiles the temple of God by saying, I am God. And Jesus calls that the abomination of desolation. It means, it's just a term for, this is terrible, this is bad, this is dirty, this is filthy, it's blasphemy. Okay? It's the Antichrist saying, I'm God. Okay? And turning on the Jews. Okay? That's at the halfway point. That's one of the signs. One of the signs of his coming. Because he says, after this, if you were to follow this through, Matthew 24, he says, run for the hills. Get out of town. Okay? Alright? Then we have the third question, the end of the world. Matthew 24:21, following the progression, Jesus says, for then shall be great tribulation. It gets worse. Such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. Immediately, after the tribulation of those days, shall the sun be darkened. The moon shall not give her light. The stars shall fall from heaven. The powers of the heavens shall be shaken. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When its branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh. So likewise, when you shall see all these things, know that it is near even at the doors. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. So he tells us some signs at the Great Tribulation. After the Tribulation, the sun's darkened, the moon won't give her light, the heavens are shaken, the stars fall, the Son of Man comes, He mentions the fig tree. Now look at Revelation 6 and the sixth seal. See if these don't match. I beheld when he'd opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. The sun became black. Jesus said the sun would be darkened. The moon would be his blood. The moon should not give her light. The stars of heaven fell unto the earth. That's what he said. The stars would fall from heaven. Do you see these match? Don't they match? Absolutely. Jesus has taken us through the tribulation in Matthew 24, and so is Revelation 6, taking us all the way through. And it mentions the figs. And Jesus said, learn the parable of the fig tree. Revelation mentions the untimely figs. And heaven departed, the scroll rolled up together. Then it tells us that the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the mighty men, all these people, hid themselves in the den, the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? And that's what Jesus said, the Son of Man is coming in the clouds. Okay? So that takes us through the tribulation following those. I say all that to say this. I do not believe the tribulation to be just 3.5 years. I believe it to be to encompass all 7. And here's, this is not, don't hold me to this. All right? But I believe in the first 3.5 years you see some of the seals. False Christ, wars, famines, pestilences, earthquakes. I believe that to be the case. I believe the halfway is abomination, desolation, mark of the beast. Second 3.5 years, you see more of the seals, which we looked at. You see trumpets, definitely vials, martyrs, sun and moon dark, and great earthquake, stars fall. Whereas it might be more intense this half of the tribulation, I still don't see this half as having nothing. I believe it to be 1 week long, 7 years long, of wrath from heaven. Therefore, if it's a whole week, I can't place the church in that week at all, halfway through it at all. Even if there were no wrath, I wouldn't place them there anyway because it's a different program. Israel and the church are different. And so that's why part of the reason why I believe in a pre-tribulation rapture, the church goes up prior to the seven-year trib, has no part of the seven-year trib. All right, that's what I believe. More and more, as I looked into it, I'm even more firm on it than I ever was before. All right, any questions? We've covered a lot of ground tonight, a lot of information to throw at you. It's just kind of just a throw-together fun study. If you're confused, don't worry. Just listen for the horn to blow and be ready to go.
There'll be another lesson. There'll be two lessons. One is the mid-tribulation lesson. And then what called post-tribulation lesson, just before the second coming.
I don't think, personally, that there's a mid-tribulation rapture. I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think there is.
What about the last one?
I think there's one. I think there's one here.
And what's that called?
A post-tribulation. It's for the Jews, the people that were, the people that have endured to the end. Okay. Now the other thing is, people say, is it a rapture like our rapture? I don't know. I call it a rapture. It's a resurrection. Remember, 3 parts of the first resurrection. I don't know if it's like a rapture like ours is. Don't hold me to that either, Joe.
The rebuilding of the temple, can that occur or start to occur before we go into rapture, or will that occur after that? Was rebuilding the temple, will that occur in the first 3.5 years?
Yeah.
It doesn't go in and proclaim himself to be God.
Right, right. I think that it could occur before the rapture. I think we could see it built, or started, or completely built. I don't see why we can't. But I don't think it has to be built for the rapture to happen, because by today's technology, I don't know that it would take a long, long time to build a structure like that. Especially when you hear rumors, they've got all the materials, they're ready to go and all this. You know, it probably won't take them long to put that thing up. Go ahead. Well, we know this. He's going to confirm a covenant for 7 years, which means, as far as we're concerned, that covenant can be made tomorrow. But just not confirmed until it's time. They could have everything in place. Hey, we'll give you this for that. We'll let you build here. We'll let, you know, and we'll have a 7-year treaty. Well, it doesn't, the clock doesn't tick on the trib until that is confirmed by the Antichrist.
Who's involved in that covenant?
I don't know. I can't even speculate. I mean, it could be the nations, you know. Again, a lot probably having to do with Middle East and peace, trying to achieve peace, I would think. A lot of good questions that come up, you know, and a lot of it, again, is just remains to be seen how it will play out. It's fascinating, though, isn't it? Just to be able to be enlightened a little bit and to watch these things and to say, ah, that's a good piece of the puzzle there. You know, that could work here to this way or that way. It's exciting. You know, otherwise, you're clueless. Yeah, and that's another thing. The replacement of Arafat could come into play as well. It's very, very interesting. Okay, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead and read those verses.
Okay, and now you know what was told us, that he might be revealed in the time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way.
The restrainer, it's called. We call it the restrainer. Let, hold. Okay. I believe that to be the Holy Spirit, in that he restrains the Antichrist. The mystery of iniquity, does it not already work? It's already at work. The presence of the Holy Spirit, the presence of the church, holds that back. When the church is gone, the Holy Spirit of God can be taken right out of the way. There's nothing to withhold that Antichrist anymore. I know there's a teaching that says it's the Antichrist. It's a very uncommon teaching. Most people say it's the Holy Spirit. But if it is the Antichrist, he's restraining himself? I don't think so. And I'll tell you why. He didn't want to be restrained when Hitler was here. He tried to usher in the tribulation. He placed a mark on the Jews. He had a fatal head wound. It was 3.5 years long. That time of great tribulation for the Jews. He tried everything, but God said, no, it's not going to happen now. He wants it. He would love to be on the scene right now, but it's the Holy Spirit of God doing the work.
When the rapture comes out, there's no Holy Spirit.
Well, there's no Holy Spirit, but I would say he's not doing what he's doing. He's not the indwelling.
That's right.
The Old Testament, that Spirit came and went. He came and went, you know, he didn't indwell. So I don't know that he's not there, you know. So.
And that would hold true if the tribulation is taken worse, because there's no indwelling Holy Spirit and there's no internal security in the tribulation.
Yeah. Anybody else want to comment on that? I know that our 5 T's and Rod Phillips taught that it was the Antichrist and stuff. I personally don't understand that. That's my opinion. So if you believe otherwise, Charles, that's fine. That's for you to figure out, because it's prophecy and it remains to be seen, right? That's one thing you can disagree about. It's prophecy. Go ahead. Yes. Yes. He does. Am I, you know, the best guess that I have is, does he really believe it? The end result, does he really believe it?
He's not all-knowing.
Yeah, I mean, he's going down swinging, that's all I can tell you, you know. He's going down swinging, so, yeah, that's a good answer, I think. All right, good. Well, a lot of interesting stuff. Rob, go ahead.
Mentions the phrase come up.
Come up further, yeah.
When you mention that phrase, it reminded me of a phrase in the Song of Solomon. It's very, very similar. It wasn't that exactly those words, but it says, in the Song of Solomon 1, chapter 1, verse 10, my beloved spake, saith unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away.
That's good, yeah.
And, of course, the Song of Solomon is a fascinating study of the relationship of the rapture, of Christ, you know, taking the church.
Taking the bride. Rise up, my love, and come away. That's a good point. Song of Solomon. It's good. A lot of stuff in there. Definitely. All right, well, let's pray, and I'll dismiss those that are not taking the final, and then we'll review for the final, okay? Dave, would you close it, please?
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for the Lord Jesus, Lord. I thank you for our salvation through His blood, Lord. I thank you for this wonderful book that you have given us.
Amen.
It's an amazing and it's just an amazing book, and it just shows us, a study like that just shows us, Lord, how little we do know, and, you know, but I just thank you for the due diligence of Pastor Grado and putting this information together to give us a better understanding of the rapture and the tribulation times. Lord, I pray that we use it to help us get to understand you just a little bit better, Lord. I just pray for your mercy now. I thank you for each individual here, and pray that you've just done this week. And in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Why is the church considered a mystery? And give a verse to tell me why that is. Okay? Here's a couple of reasons. Give me as many as you can, I guess, is the best thing to do. All right, the church. Who is the church? When we use the term church, who makes up the church? And then give me a verse to support that answer. Who makes up the church? And then a verse to prove that. Okay? All the time spent talking about the church and the church age, you better know that one. Who makes up the church? And give me a verse of scripture for that. All right? Who is the head of the church? And because he is the head of the church, what does that imply about the body of that going through the tribulation? It's very simply this. We know if Christ is the head of the church, the head of the body will not go through the trib. It stands to reason if the head doesn't, that the body won't, right? We talked about that a little bit. Everybody follow that? Okay.
Do you have one of the verses to support that?
I'm not asking for a verse on that. Just who it is, who's the head, what does that imply about us going into the tribulation? Now, the next question, give me concise. Don't write me a book. I haven't given you the space. I'm going to ask you to explain and then refute the partial rapture theory, the mid-trib, and the post-trib theories. For example, you're going to explain, what is the partial rapture theory? Well, it's only those watching or working, right? That's all you got to say. Well, why doesn't that work? You tell me why that doesn't work. All right? Then, the mid-trib rapture, what is that? Well, it's that halfway through the trib, we're going, the church is going up. Refute that one. Then the post. Well, that teaches that the church goes through the whole trib and is taken up at the end of the tribulation. And refute that. Now, many, you know, your answers might all, especially for the mid and the post, they might be similar answers. Church, whatever it be, difference between church and Israel, not appointed under wrath, whatever. Okay? So, I didn't ask for verses. Nope. But the partial is going to have its own explanation, I think. The partial rapture theory, what is that, and can you refute that? And again, quick answer, right to the point. Don't write me a bunch. Don't turn it on, list on back, arrow pointed back. I don't want an essay on it. I'm not asking you for that. Okay? Then I want you to explain the biblical, what we believe to be the biblical position of the rapture. What it is, first of all, and again, this is short answer stuff. I asked, what it is? What is
the rapture. Well, the calling out, the transport, the body taken up, whatever. Where does it fall in prophecy? It falls pre-trib. Now, be careful with that, because if I believe the trib is only last 3.5 years, then it could be removed. So you want to say before the 7-year trib, right? Okay. And what is the purpose of the rapture? What is the purpose of the rapture, by the way?
To take us out.
Take us out, so what? So we're what?
Spared.
Spared from the wrath, all right? All right, and then I want 2 verses that support the rapture. I gave you more than 2. We know the 2 main ones are. I gave you more than 2. 2 verses that support the rapture. And I also want 2 types that support the rapture. The 2 types. You don't have to give me the verses for the types, just the people. Okay? Who are some of the people that typify the rapture? Who were they? Enoch, Rahab, Lot, and John. Okay?
And you only want 2 of them?
Just 2 of them is all I'm asking for. Alright, then I want you to draw a little timeline like we had labeled the 3 parts of the first resurrection. Those 3 parts are what? The first fruits, the harvest, and the
in
gatherings, okay? Or gleanings. So I want you to be able to put a little line together. Put arrows as to where they occur on a timeline, meaning this. If the first fruits, you need to tell me who the first fruits are and where they were. They're Old Testament saints, okay? So show me that that's in the Old Testament. Then we have our little church age period. Then we have the rapture, the harvest, meaning the New Testament saints. The arrow is going up. Then you have the tribulation. And then after the tribulation, you have the gleanings, the ingatherings. Tell me who that is, the church saints. And then you have the second coming, Jesus, if you want to throw that in there. Just show me the timeline, just some main things there. So 3 parts of the first resurrection and where they occur on time. And now if you just put 1 straight line, first fruits, harvest, in gatherings, 1, 2, 3, and you don't tell me where they are, then that's probably
crucifixion to
partial credit. You label them, but I want to know where they are in the timeline. Okay? Show me where we are. Are we in the old, are we in the new, are we in the trib? Okay, everybody follow that? Where we are with that? Okay. All right, now we're getting into the next couple lessons. And so if we don't answer these tonight, these are what you're going to need to know as we teach the next couple lessons. The 2 main purposes of the tribulation. We have yet to go over that, but there are 2 main purposes of the tribulation. What are they? And these are the things you need to be listening to for the next class. All right? Then, give me 4 events that will take place in the tribulation. This you ought to be able to do now. Very easy. Wars, earthquakes, famines, pestilences, the mark of the beast, the Antichrist, martyrs, all right, false prophets. 4 events that are going to take place in the tribulation. I want 2 scripture verses that describe the second advent of Jesus Christ. We're going to go over several, more than 2. 2 passages that will describe the second coming of Christ. And I want you to describe it as well. Like if you say Isaiah 63, the description will be he's trampling out the winepress. He's covered in blood, you know, that kind of a thing. If you see Zechariah 14, every eye shall see him.
You just want the address, you want the verse written out too.
No, I don't want the verse written out. I want just the address. I don't want a memory verse. I'm saying is, if you put down Isaiah 63, give me a little bullet. What does that say?
Okay.
Okay?
Yep.
Or in flaming fire, taking vengeance. Maybe that'll be one, Thessalonians, okay?
They don't need to memorize this.
No, not memorize, nope. Just the addresses. You can find the second coming of Christ in a description with those. Again, yet to get into this teaching, explain how a day can equal 1,000 years in Scripture. And then I want 2 specific examples. I'll tell you one, then you know what I'm talking about.
Could you say that again, please?
How a day equals 1,000 years. Explain that.
With the Scripture?
Yep. With the Scripture. So in 2 Peter 3:8, we've got Jesus, he says it, a day is 1,000 years, 1,000 years a day with the Lord, right? More specifically, and we'll look at these later, you're looking at Hosea 6:2. It says, after 2 days he'll revive us and he'll raise us the third day. That's Israel talking. So we put in the formula of 2 days, a day is 1,000 years. It would be after 2,000 years, he raises us, Israel, on the third day or the millennial reign. All right, well, I'll get more into that later. But give me a couple examples of that. How a day can equal 1,000 years in Scripture. So you'd give me the address, and you would give me how that works out. All right, the next one is easy. Define premillennialism, postmillennialism, and amillennialism. All right? Not pre, post, and mid-rapture, but pre, post, and amillennialism. All right? Premillennialism is that Jesus returns when? Before the 1,000 years. Okay. Amillennialism says what? There is no millennium. And postmillennialism tells us what? Teaches that he returns when?
After
the 1,000 years. Okay? Pre, post, and ah millennialism. Okay, a few more here. And then I'm going to ask you, which millennial position is biblical and a scripture verse to support why you believe premillennialism is biblical? Because that's the answer. It better be the answer. All right, so which one is biblical and give me a supporting verse? Then, describe the millennial reign. Just like I had you describe the second advent, describe the millennial reign using scriptures. A couple scriptures, verses again. For example, you're going to say, it's a time of peace. Well, show me the address that tells me it's a time of peace. It's a time of perfection. Give me the address. It's a time where he rules with a rod of iron. Give me the address then where he rules with a rod of iron. All right? So you're going to describe the millennial reign using 2 scripture verses. Maybe you'll want to use Isaiah 11. What are the animals? The wolf and the lamb and the bear or whatever. They all lie down together and, you know, have tea and all that. Okay. So it's the millennial reign, Isaiah 11, where there's peace and harmony in the creation. All right? Then, we looked a little bit at it tonight, but who will reign in the millennium? We know the obvious one is Christ. Just give me as many as you can in this. Christ will reign. Followers of Christ will reign. That's obvious. More specifically, David will reign. We'll look at that. The 12 apostles will reign. We'll look at that scripture. Okay. Who will reign in the millennium? Nope. And then the last question is just describe the great white throne judgment. Describe it. What is it? What happens? What happens is all the dead are judged. The Bible says all the dead, not the living, the dead are judged according to their works. Then death and hell are cast in the lake of fire. You just need to know a little bit about what that great white throne is for. He brings up all the dead before him. The books are open. Not found in the book of life, cast in the lake of fire. They're judged by their works specifically. What did you do while you were alive? What did you do? What did you do? Okay. So you give me some bullet points to describe the great white throne judgment. Then I'm going to give you a bonus question.
Bonus.
And it has to do with Daniel's 70 weeks. How it converts to years. And then break it down in those years from Daniel 9, 24 to 27. So, and we'll look at this as well. But, first of all, the 70 weeks converts to 490 years. Then you need to break down the passage. There's 7 weeks, or 49 years. Then there's 62 weeks, or 434. And you got to tell me what happens in this time. Then there's the last week, or 7 years. Then there's the middle of the week, and what happens in the middle of that week. Okay? So try to get as much information as you can on Daniel's 70 weeks, how that converts to years, what happens during that breakdown, and read Daniel 9, 24 to 27 and try to get that thing down pat, and we'll also teach on that. Next time we're together, I think we'll teach on that. Go ahead.
And what events are we covering on the 19th?
On the 19th, we're going to be, let's see, next time we're going to do the tribulation, so Daniel's 70 weeks. Anything we'll do with the tribulation. The last week we're gonna do the second coming and the millennial reign. Okay, that's the last week. So what I would do is try to get as much information as you can now, those questions that I've asked you. And when we're teaching it that week, maybe I'll just put a flag up. Okay? You need to know this. All right? But I don't think it's too terribly difficult where you're really going to suffer because you're not getting taught it till that last week. Okay?
Gotcha.
If you want, you know, just I'll cut you some slack there if you have questions or whatever. Okay, that's the review for the final exam, which will be December 19th.